Today, I just want to say happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there, or happy Father's Day weekend. This is a special weekend for you. Someone noticed that the word father appears in the dictionary just before the word fatigued and just after the word fathead. So to all you fatigued fathead fathers, happy Father's Day. I'm glad that you are here. I think we'd all admit as father, one of the greatest joys and privileges in this world is being a father or a dad. There is nothing like it. There's nothing more challenging. There's nothing more rewarding than being a dad. But raising our kids, we all know to raise our kids in this world, in this society, at this time, it is not easy. And most of the time, it's way over our heads. And we desperately need the Spirit and the power of God. See, we're all imperfect. We're not perfect. We make mistakes constantly as fathers and as people. And we desperately need the power of God. You know, I don't know, in spite of everything, though, whether you're perfect or not, whether you're mess-ups or not, wherever you are, I just got to tell you, we want to honor you as a father and as a dad. And it's before all the ladies tune me out, I know you're going to get something out of this. Or you can be going like this to your husband, whatever. But anyway, it's a good weekend to remember the amazing thing of being a father or a dad. Let's pray. Father, we call you Father because you are the Father of the universe and you're our Father. And we're just grateful that you promised to be with us today as we worship you and talk about you. Lord, as we talk about earthly fathers and what that means, may your Spirit continue to work with us, Lord. Teach us, train us, and help us to do better, Father. We want to be like Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. In the last year, back in 2011, September 30, a powerful, life-changing movie hit the theaters. It was a movie produced by a private Christian film company, Sherwood Pictures. Does anybody know what film I'm talking about? Courageous. I was hoping for Josh and Ross and John to bring that out because they have a class right over here. Every Sabbath, they're right here, and they're going over a workbook. This is the second time around learning principles from that movie. And they have a workbook, and you can be part of that anytime, but it was a powerful, incredible movie. How many, by the way, have seen Courageous? Have you seen that movie? Most of we actually showed it here for a social. It is really an amazing movie. And what is interesting, you know, that and Fireproof and the other films that they've been producing, you know, they've been criticized. The secular movie industry never dreamed that they could ever do so well. But here is Alex Kendrick, this man, associate pastor of the Sherwood Baptist Church, and his brother Stephen. They have produced these movies, and they have a vision, and God is blessing them. It is interesting that this last movie, Courageous, they had a budget of $2 million. Now, that's for a church, that's stepping out in faith. But $2 million budget for that movie, but the opening weekend, they grossed $9.1 million. Is that amazing? And since that time, since it came back in September, they've grossed almost $35 million, a Christian film with an incredible message. You know, it's a powerful message directed at fathers because there is a crisis in America. It's a message to fathers to step up, to be the fathers that God has called us to be. And the undergirding message is that it takes courage today. It takes resolve today to be that kind of father. And kind of the message that kind of came across to me is, and the guy's kind of a line, I don't want to be just a good father or an okay father. I want to be a great father today. We're going to show a little clip of that movie right now. And it's just going to stir again, how popular and amazing this movie has been.
to live out this resolution, you will need courage.
Amen. As I thought about the movie, and I thought about Father's Day and what this movie has done, the powerful impact, the huge impact it's made on so many lives today, my mind went to the verses at the end of the Old Testament to Malachi. The last two verses are right here in the Old Testament. Malachi, if you want to take your Bible, Malachi chapter 4 and verse 5 and 6, it says there, "Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the grateful, dreadful day of the Lord. And he would turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse." We are living in unprecedented times. The things we are seeing in our country and around the world, we've never seen before. We've never seen our country so wicked and so corrupt as we're seeing today. Amen? We have a president accepting and promoting what the Bible calls evil and wrong. And it's truly a sign of the times that Jesus is coming, and he's coming soon. I want you to notice the last line there, "the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest." Notice this is the last line of the Old Testament. And notice this, "lest I come and strike the earth with a" what? "A curse." It never hit me before, but notice something. That line is not there by accident. It is not a slip of the pen by the prophet. He is actually telling us, the prophet Malachi, God is telling through that prophet, that this nation's destiny and the blessing of God hinges on the quality of the relationship between the father and his children. You ever thought about that before? The blessing of God, it hinges on this relationship, the father with the children. This relationship. We are living in evil times. But I got good news. In the midst of the darkness, God is going to shine his light. In the midst of a country of lawlessness, in the midst of a country where anything goes today, God is going to have a commandment-keeping, faithful, spirit-filled believers at the end of time that will shine brightly for him. Elijah is going to come. Look what Paul says in 2 Timothy 3, verse 1 to 5, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters and proud and blasphemers, and notice, disobedient to parents." So in the last days, notice, we're going to see a phenomena at the end that young people, kids, are going to be disrespectful, disobedient to their parents. See, 40, 50 years ago, kids obeyed and respected authority. But we see it all changing today. It says they're going to be unholy. They're going to be unthankful, unloving, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control. We see this everywhere. Brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. How many's got that problem? Go ahead and raise your hand. Having a form of godliness but denying its power, from such people turn away. Our country is in a crisis today, and God is looking for godly fathers who will step up to the plate and be the fathers that God wants us to be. See, I got good news, even though we're in this unprecedented time, a time we've never seen before in our history. God is going to have an Elijah. He's going to have an Elijah that's going to show up before the end. Malachi tells us Elijah is going to come. And that Elijah is going to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children to the fathers at the end of time. Isn't that good news? In other words, relationships are going to be restored. See, we are seeing a great polarization in our country, our society. On one side, we see a government society backing and promoting evil. Our country, Christian America. And yet on the other side, we see a Christian church in the face of all the criticism of the secular world producing a Christian film that goes right to the very core of what makes us a country strong and society strong, the family unit. See, why is turning the hearts of the father to the children and the hearts of the children to the father so significant to our father before he comes back to this earth? To answer the question, we need to go back to the time of Elijah. And as you go back and you study the time of Elijah, Elijah lived, he was a prophet of God who lived in a very dark and evil time in the history of Israel. Jezebel and Ahab, they had seduced the whole nation into all kind of false idol worship and sin of every kind. They promoted Asherah, the goddess of sex, and Baal, the goddess of prosperity, and they put them two together, and it totally destroyed, began to destroy the nation of Israel, the people of God. What is our two great sins today? Think about it. Baal and Asherah, they fit. It's what we see today at the end. Do you realize that this country cannot continue to go? We have the highest murder rate of any country in the world. The highest sex rate, Christian America, of any country in the world. Highest rape, everything, right here in Christian America. God is taking away the blessing, but God is going to have an Elijah that will be faithful. And I look at Elijah living in that evil time. He stood up. He stood up for God. He would not conform. He would not compromise. We live in such a compromising time. Anything goes. Isn't that right? There's no truth anymore. It's all subjective. Whatever you believe is fine. Whatever I believe is fine. And even in Christianity, even the body of Christ, we're seeing that happen. Elijah was God's man. He was filled with the Spirit of God. And he was so connected. Now realize, this is a symbol of the end time, God's people. He was so connected to his God and his Father that when he prayed, all of heaven bent down to hear his prayers. And it did not rain. And maybe it's time for us as a church to start praying for our nation. Don't send the rain. Don't send the blessings until we come back to you, Lord. God used Elijah powerfully to bring about a revival and reformation to the people of God. And have you noticed, whenever the people of God start turning back to God, relationships are restored. Families, the family union is restored. The unit is restored. Things get back to the way that God intended them to be. And one of the greatest evidence that a nation is right with God isn't financial prosperity. The greatest evidence that God is here is when the family is strong. It's when fathers and sons and daughters, moms and dads, when their hearts come and they're knit together. Think about it. What if we all came together? There's so many absent fathers today in our homes. They're not there. They may even be there, but they're not really there. There's absent fathers that don't show up, that don't take responsibility. What if we really went back to the model of the Bible and we built this home that God wants us to have? Think about it. What if every Christian home or family built that foundation? Can you imagine how it would begin to change our society and our nation? And all of a sudden, all this evil that's being promoted by even our leaders and government would go away, disappear, as we turn back to our God. See, according to Jesus, John the Baptist was the Elijah of the first generation, or I should say his generation. He was the Elijah of the first coming. He was the one to prepare the way for Jesus to come. And he had a very straight message. What was his message? Repent. The kingdom of God is at hand. But see, at the end, Malachi tells us that Elijah tells us at the very end that Malachi says at the end, Elijah is going to show up again at the end. But at the end, it's not going to be this charismatic, this individual, this one person. But it's going to be a worldwide group. This is symbolic of a worldwide group of people at the end that are going to be filled with the Spirit of God. They're going to be obedient. If you go to the verse just before that, it talks about they're going to keep the commandments of God. It's all right there. God is going to have an Elijah. And whether you like it or not, God wants you and me to be part of that group, being faithful to God. Because it's time to get back to our roots, isn't it? And here I see this church, this Baptist church, producing a movie like Courageous or the Fireproof movie for marriage. They're hitting at the core. I believe they're fulfilling the prophecy. But here we are, people that of the Elijah message. Isn't it time that we take the stand and we take the forefront? That we become part of being the light in this dark world that God has called us to be. I want to go back. Look at the resolution. I want to just take a quick look at the resolution again. I'm going to go through each one. It says, I do solemnly resolve before God to take full responsibility for myself, my wife, and my children. And when I look at that resolve, what it's saying is the buck stops right here in my family. I'm responsible. We're not going to leave it to chance. We're not going to leave it to schools or teachers or the influence of friends and family or anyone else. We're not going to leave it to the media that dictates what's right and wrong. We're going to take the head as fathers. I will love them, protect them, serve them, and teach them the Word of God as the spiritual leader of my home. That is such a great privilege that we are the spiritual leader. That's what God ordained. I mean, you can't overemphasize this one, how important it is. Keith Myring, administrator of Men's Life, illustrates the incredible spiritual power of a father in a child's life. Now, this is going to shock you a little bit. This is what he said. This is a quote from him. When the father is an active believer, there is about a 75% likelihood that the children will also become active believers. Did you hear that? If you are an active, notice the key is active believer. 75% chance that your child will follow in your footsteps. But if only the mother is a believer, this likelihood is dramatically reduced to 15%. Is that amazing? It's almost unbelievable. We are the spiritual leaders. That's what God asks us to be. And we can see what's happened because we're not taking that lead. I will be faithful to my wife, to love and honor her. I'll be willing to lay down my life for her as Jesus Christ did for me. This is one that, you know, our kids are watching us. They watch everything we do. And we have that responsibility. You notice that if you look at this one, this relates, it's really foreign. It's this sacred commitment between a husband and a wife is almost unheard of in our society today. We live in a society of throwaway relationship, you know. We just kind of shack up. If it doesn't work, we move on to somebody else. It was never God's plan, but it's one of the reasons that we're in the condition we are in today. It's because of the sins that have been passed on third and fourth generation, but we take it so lightly today. It's interesting. Statistics show that when dads love their moms and show it, their children will have much greater self-esteem. They'll do much better in school, less delinquency, less crime, gangs, and the list goes on and on when we less love our wives. I will bless my children and teach them to love God with all their hearts, with all their minds, and with all their strength. I thought about this one, man. I think of it. What if we just taught them this? Nothing else. Just taught them to love God with all their heart, their mind, soul, and strength. Can you imagine what these children would do for God? It would change the world if we just teach them to make God supreme in their life. I would train them to honor authority and live responsibly. Man, I love being around kids. There's some great young people in our church. I love when kids respect authority, don't you? But I'm going to tell you something. They don't get that trait. They're not born with that trait. It is a learned trait. And they learn it from their parents, and I believe especially their father. I would confront evil, pursue justice, and love mercy. Now, that says a lot. I would pray for others and treat them with kindness, respect, and compassion. Do your kids see in you praying for people in need? Do they see you caring and sharing of your time, your resources, and so on for the less fortunate? Do they see that you have Christ's heart, a servant heart, to help others? Or is it just kind of a facade? I will work diligently to provide for the needs of my family. I came across this. The U.S. Department of Agriculture conducts a survey every year to determine the cost of living in our country. They study the spending of 5,000 families to determine what's the average cost to raise a child in our country or in our world, in our society. Take a guess how much it costs for one child to be raised every year. Does anybody have an idea? Any age, but let's say 1 to 12. What do you think it costs? Almost about $12,000. This is the family, about $60,000 is the average for income. It costs almost $12,000 per child per year to raise a child. Already you say, man, how am I doing it? As they get to teenage years, it gets even higher. It goes to about $13,253 per child. So you double that up. And by the age of 18, now this is just a home of $60,000 average, it's across America, you will spend $223,860 per child. And if they go to college, you know that's at least $300,000. So if you have two children, and most people have two children, that's a lot of money. That's a lot. I mean, you might be dreaming of a yacht, guys, but there goes your yacht. And by the way, when I'm looking at statistics, notice it's not really talking about families that are committed to Christian education. So we even spend more than that. Is the sacrifice worth it? I'm going to tell you right now, and I'm going to say this boldly, because I've seen this so much, but I would never send my kid to a public school today. I had a niece and nephew, and I'm going to just tell you, and I had a niece and nephew I'm extremely close to. I baptized one of them. And they had a heart for God. They went through our Christian school. They were up in Coeur d'Alene. They went to a great school, and they actually had a heart for God. And for whatever the reason, I won't tell you the reasons, but they ended up in high school. Both of them are completely out of the church and want nothing to do with God, at least right now in their life. I'm hoping they come back. But I'm telling you, it's the influence is so great. Don't underestimate. You know? And I know that our Christian schools aren't all that we want them to be. But I believe that God is working in our schools. And I believe God wants to work through our leadership and our teachers, and I see it happen because I know our teachers and our administration, and they're dedicated people to God. And I'm not just saying that, I'm getting to know these people. And they pray for their students, and they pray for their school, and I hope you're doing the same. I made a commitment. I made a commitment. I pray for the teachers on a daily basis for the baptism of the Spirit on their life. And I made that new commitment, but, you know, I believe so much in Christian education. I want my kids to have the best that they can have. But, you know, I got to share this right here. Can you relate with that? But listen to this. It says, a father is a guy who has snapshots in his wallet where his money used to be. See ya. It's gone. It takes sacrifice. It really does. It's sacrifice, but is it worth it? I mean, is it worth it that your kids grow up in a Christian environment? I mean, that's what it's all about. It says, I will work diligently to provide for my family. I will forgive those who have wronged me and reconcile with those I have wronged. Does that take courage? Well, that takes courage more for a guy than a woman, I believe. Because there's all this pride, and we don't want to humble ourselves and ask forgiveness for things we have done. Or we don't want to forgive the past. We don't want to let it go. And so maybe a father or somebody did something to you and you won't let it go and you hang on to this. See, one of the evidence that God is working in your life is when you can forgive just as Jesus forgave you. And it's really that simple. If Jesus can forgive you, you can forgive that person that hurt you. But when you start making those attempts and you try to reconcile with those you wrong, it brings things together. It brings people together and relationships together. And lives are restored, and it's just amazing when that begins to happen. I will learn from my mistakes, repent of my sins, and walk with integrity as a man answerable to God. Do you guys like that line? Answerable to God, not to you, not to anybody, not to my boss. I'm answerable to God. And that's what we need. Think about if men were really living by these principles, I will repent. It's huge. Honesty and integrity is huge today in our society. I would seek to honor God, be faithful to His church, obey His word, and do His will. I would seek to honor God and be faithful to what? His word and His church. I got to tell you, the body of Christ, if you're a spectator, in other words, you just like coming, hanging out, hopefully the preacher has a decent message. Hopefully you get fed a little bit. You're missing the body is together. The body comes together. Don't live your life alone. Get involved in small groups. Get connected with people. You know, don't let this life pass you by and say, I'm too busy. I got too much going. Don't miss out on the body. I'll tell you, the best things happen not on Sabbath morning. The best things happen is our small group. When I see the power of God, and we saw miracles happen this year as people connect together, get involved. The blessed life is obeying God. The best life and the blessed life is being part of the church, the body of Christ. Our courageous who work with the strength God provides to fulfill this resolution for the rest of my life and for His glory. And then as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I love that last line because it says that we can. It's basically saying, I will work in God's strength, not my own. Have you ever tried to make a resolution in your own strength? Have you ever done a New Year's resolution and you do it, but it rarely takes, right? Because we don't have the strength. Do we really have the strength to do all these resolutions? We don't have it. It's not in us. We need the Spirit of God. We need God's grace working in our life. Thank God, though. Thank God that God will provide every day what you need. When you make the resolve, when you make the commitment, Ellen White says everything depends on the right action of the will. When you make that decision, you make the resolve, then God's Spirit will come. The power, the strength of God will come into your life. And when you're doing things, all of a sudden the Spirit of God will convict you and start working in your life. And it'll start molding you and growing you. Jesus said these words. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears how much fruit? Just a little bit of fruit. If you abide in Christ, you will bear much fruit. For without me, how much can you do? Nothing. Have you learned that in your life? Wherever you are, you can't do it in your own strength. Some of you are trying to overcome sin in your life. You can't do it. You're trying to reconcile relationships. You can't do it in your own strength. Stop trusting in your own abilities. It's a message all the way through Scripture. We don't have the strength. There's a simple truth in the Bible. If you connect with Jesus Christ and you know Him personally, intimately, you will have strength. You will produce fruit, and you can do unbelievable things for God. And so every day I make that daily resolve to serve God. And every day we surrender. And every day we spend time. See, we can see why the devil is trying to destroy our fathers and their influence today. He wants to destroy the true picture of God. But we as fathers are the visible representation of God to our kids. Don't you like that line? We are the visible representation of God to our kids. Our children want to be like us. And I hope that we want to be like our father. Atkins Rodney, a country singer, wrote this song, Watching You. Any country fans out there? Slip your hand up just a little. Driving through town. I'm going to just read some of the lines. Driving through town, just my boy and me, with a happy meal in my booster's seat, knowing that he couldn't have the toy till his nuggets were gone. A green traffic light turned straight to red. I hit the brakes and mumbled under my breath. His fries went flying and his orange drink covered his lap. Well, then my four-year-old said a four-letter word, and it started with S, and I was concerned. So I said, son, now where'd you learn to talk like that? And in the course, he says, I've been watching you, Dad. Ain't that cool? I'm your buckaroo. I want to be like you and eat all my food and grow up as tall as you are. We got cowboy boots and camel pants. Yeah, we're just alike. Hey, ain't we, Dad? I want to do everything you do, so I've been watching you. We got back home, and I went to the barn. I bowed my head and prayed real hard. Said, Lord, please help me. Help my stupid self. Just aside of bedtime later that night, turning on my son's Scooby-Doo nightlight, he crawled out of bed and he got down on his knees. He closed his eyes and folded his little hands, spoke to God like he was talking to a friend. And I said, son, now where'd you learn to pray like that? He says, I've been watching you, Dad. Ain't that cool? I'm your buckaroo. I want to be like you and eat all my food and grow up as tall as you are. We like fixing things, holding mama's hand. Yeah, we're just alike. Hey, ain't we, Dad? I want to do everything you do, so I've been watching you. With tears in my eyes, I wrapped him in a hug and says, my little bear is growing up. He says, but when I'm big, I'll still know what to do because I've been watching you. Dad, ain't that cool? I'm your buckaroo. I want to be like you. I tell you, the greatest privilege that we have, the greatest honor, the greatest responsibility is raising our kids to know Jesus. And I'm telling you, it's worth it. I'm probably going to embarrass my girl, but she gave me a card. It says, I love you so much. You're the best dad in history. Any debates? Come on. Dad, thanks for being my dad. And then I got one yesterday morning. Was it yesterday? Yeah, yesterday morning from my little buddy. And Caleb picked this out, I guess, weeks ago because he saw this card, had to have it for his dad. And it says, when I grow up, I hope I'm just like you. And then he says, just like the card says, I want to be just like you. Do you know why? Because you're the best. XOXOXOXO. Love, Caleb. If that ain't cool, nothing is. I'm sorry. That is cool. And I'm just thankful for the privilege. But I know I fall short. I know I need the power and the strength of God. And so this we're going to show just another little bleep before we close here of this movie, but it's about that final time there in the church. And, you know, I just want to ask you, do you want to stand? You know, that's the question he's going to ask you. Do you want to stand and make that commitment?
I now believe that God desires for every father to courageously step up and do whatever it takes to be involved in the lives of his children. But more than just being there, providing for them, he's to walk with them through their young lives and be a visual representation of the character of God, their Father in heaven. A father should love his children and seek to win their hearts. He should protect them, discipline them, and teach them about God. He should model how to walk with integrity and treat others with respect. And should call out his children to become responsible men and women who live their lives for what matters in eternity. Some men will hear this and mock it or ignore it. But I tell you that as a father, you are accountable to God for the position of influence he has given you. You can't fall asleep at the wheel, only to wake up one day and realize that your job or your hobbies have no eternal value, but the souls of your children do. Some men will hear this and agree with it, but have no resolve to live it out. Instead, they will live for themselves and waste the opportunity to leave a godly legacy for the next generation. But there are some men who, regardless of the mistakes we've made in the past, regardless of what our fathers did not do for us, will give the strength of our arms and the rest of our days to loving God with all that we are, and to teach our children to do the same. And whenever possible, to love and mentor others who have no father in their lives, but who desperately need help and direction. And we are inviting any man whose heart is willing and courageous to join us in this resolution. In my home, the decision has already been made. You don't have to ask who will guide my family, because by God's grace, I will. You don't have to ask who will teach my son to follow Christ, because I will. Who will accept the responsibility of providing and protecting my family? I will. Who will ask God to break the chain of destructive patterns in my family's history? I will. Who will pray for and bless my children to boldly pursue whatever God calls them to do? I am their father. I will. I accept this responsibility, and it is my privilege to embrace it. I want the favor of God and his blessing on my home. Any good man does. So where are you, men of courage? Where are you, fathers who fear the Lord? It's time to rise up and answer the call that God has given to you, and to say, I will. I will. I will.
I've seen that a few times, but it moves me every time. Because, you know, I've made that stand. You know, this is Father's Day weekend, right? Otherwise, and moms, dads, kids, are you thankful for your dads today? Amen. Give dads a hand today. And the very fact that the dads are here tells them that their heart, we want to be that kind of father. That's why we're here at church. We want to be all we can be. Let's pray together. Father, this is a great time to remember fathers. Thank you for each father that's here. Lord, you know us. You know how many mistakes we make. But God, in our hearts, we want to be like you. We want to be like our Heavenly Father. Because we know that our children are watching us. And Lord, we can't do this in our own strength. So God, I pray that we will resolve to be the fathers you've called us to be. That we will receive your strength, your help. And that God, in our world, wherever we are, we will be that shining light. Lord, there is going to be an Elijah at the end. There is going to be a turning of the fathers back to the children to the fathers. May we be part of that, each one. Lord, may we break all the bad, the past, and all these things that's kept us from being the fathers we should be. We repent, and we just want to ask again for a cleansing, and that you will fill us again with your Spirit. Lord, may every father, every dad this weekend have a blessed weekend. May they experience the love of their family and the love of God. In Jesus' name, amen.